Draft just happened. Oh my gosh, it was as crazy as we thought it was gonna be, right?
Yeah, I mean I kind of figured, like, everybody's like, oh, there's gonna be so many trades. There's never that many trades. We had one team come up for a quarterback, we had one trade at the beginning, and then a couple minor ones in the middle there, but like that was pretty much how I anticipated that it would fall out. I didn't anticipate Jackson Dart would be the second quarterback off the board, but I'm sure we'll get to that at some point and talk about that. Yeah.
Do we want to just let's go through some of the questions real quick here first? I'll throw them up on here, and then we can get into best available players and things like that. So, I mean, first of all, like the Falcons, and the Falcons, who done goofed more? I mean, it has to be the Falcons. Like, much as we aren't Jackson Dart guys, been trading a future first in the back end of the first is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. That was one of the dumbest trades I think I've ever seen. What is Terry doing? Is Terry like, does Terry know what he's doing?
I don't think so, because literally the pick before that, the Giants gave up two third round picks, which I thought was a donation to begin with.
Yeah.
So he had a template to work off of, and then he still gave up a future first to come up into the back end of round one.
That's an asinine decision.
Does he think he's going to be picking 32nd next year, brother?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just gave up a better pick for a pass rusher. A pass rusher with
no run defense upside right now.
And with character or like personality concerns, work ethic concerns, what the hell are we doing here, buddy? Hate drip. Love what the Browns did with all those players falling to them. I mean, dude, how are you feeling about this? Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's two-sided here. Obviously, I have an attachment to the Cleveland Browns. I'm born and raised in Northeast Ohio, still live in Ohio. Diehard Browns fan growing up. I'm kind of detaching a little bit because, like, when I cover the team, and two, I'm a national draft analyst. So, like, you have to remove yourself a little bit. But falling from 2 to 5, 3 spots, and getting a top 40 pick plus a future one, like, that's an unbelievable haul to fall back 3 slots. But it is hard to stomach when you put a face to that second, to that number, when you put a face to second overall and you say, but it's not Travis Hunter, but you don't get Travis Hunter. And that's a hard pill to swallow when you have
Travis Hunter. I'm going to stop you right there. All right. I'm going to stop you right there. I know it's Travis Hunter, but would you rather have Travis Hunter? Okay. And this is a great thing that Hurricane Lane brought up. Travis Hunter. Or Mason Graham, Shedeur Sanders, and Luther Burden.
So it's potentially one of the other, because they still already had 33.
Because they still would have had 33.
Mason Graham and or Shedeur or Luther Burden, plus a future one. Dude.
Plus a future one, Corey.
The future one's huge. The future one is huge. I acknowledge that. Dude. So we're talking about Mason Graham and Shedeur plus a future one. I mean, I got to stand my ground here as a very, like, the Arrested Development. There's dozens of us, dozens. That's how it is with Shedeur Sanders QB1 truthers. So I got to stand my ground a little bit and say, okay, fine.
You do.
But here's the thing. Are we sure they take Shedeur Sanders at 33?
No, absolutely
not. Now we're getting into day two. Like, I think they could punt on quarterback altogether and go Shedeur, or go Luther Burden and Nick Amamori, or Luther Burden and Nick Scorton. Like, they could, or Nick Warren, and Nick Scorton.
Mason, what about Will Johnson? Dude, the medicals for Will have to be bad.
Have to be terrible. that makes me weird because corners in Cleveland already have soft tissue injuries. So if we're talking about a corner with some bad meds, it reminds me a little bit of Greedy Williams, who everybody was mocking top 10 preseason, and then he fell into the second round and then he's out of the league. So like, it kind of gives me that little bit of vibe. So like, I'm a little bit scared off there, but part of me thinks that like, one, they're already telling us what kind of season this is going to be by throwing out a Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett quarterback competition. So what good does it do to throw a rookie in there? I understand in the second round, you're not committing anything to the future. So if you suck again, you're taking another quarterback in round one next year, and you have two first rounders to play around with to come up and try to make that happen next year. But like, I kind of might just rather punt on quarterback and take two really good players that are still on the board, like Luther Burden, like Nix Gordon, like Nick Emenwori, Travion Henderson. You need a running like there are so many other good skill players out there, position players out there. Like, why not just punt? Like, you're telling us what kind of season it's going to be. Maybe just punt and let the Flacco Pickett thing play itself out.
Yeah. Sam comes in. Aren't we making fun of teams? I joined at a good time. Just the Falcons. we will make fun of some other teams when we go down through all the rest of the picks, but I did want to bring that one up. Let's talk about this one. Let's grade the three trades, because we brought up the trades here. I mean, I think it's a pretty typical trade from 2 to 5. Like, I don't think it wasn't out of the question, but I do think that they paid quite a bit for the name of Travis Hunter. And I love it.
Mason Graham was the fifth player on my board as well. So like, I can't be upset at getting the fifth player on my board at number five. Like, I can't be upset about it. Yeah. I can maybe be upset about some of the stuff I've heard that maybe part of Myles Garrett deciding to side back on was that he maybe had a large say in who the Browns were taking, and that he may have strongly suggested taking Mason Graham. Like, some of the process might have been a little junky. But again, at the end of the Browns got the fifth player on my board at pick number five. Like,
I don't believe they're letting players, even Myles Garrett, the draft guy.
I think they may have. If you're telling me strong opinion on
your quarterback, if you're telling me that your quarterback came in and watched all the tape of all the wide receivers and was like, "I prefer this guy," maybe
you're preferring Velus Jones.
Yeah. But like, there's no way. Like, in my brain, saying, "Hey Miles, do you have a subscription to Dalton's Patreon? Have you been watching all 22? Can you tell us if you would rather have Mason Graham right beside you, or would you rather have Travis Hunter playing on the other side of the ball? Like, why would we care about that?" And I understand that you want to cater to your best players, but that would be a ridiculous decision by Cleveland to do that. Should we take Burden at 33? Bryce asks, because of the wide receiver needy teams ahead.
That would be my, I would take Luther Burden at 33.
Yeah.
I've been, again, another area where I got to stand my ground. Like, I've been a staunch, like, and again, we were considering
Travis too.
Corner for most of the season. So like, with Travis Hunter being considered as a corner, I've been a staunch Luther Burden is the best wide receiver in this class. I'm going to stand my ground on that and say, like, yeah, but I'm taking that guy at 33.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Does drafting a quarterback in round two keep? No. Absolutely not.
Freaking Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen top 10 and came back and took Kyler Murray first overall. If you have conviction about a quarterback the next year and you don't see it from a guy, move on. You do not owe a quarterback
1,000%.
If you feel like you can upgrade, none.
1,000%. Let's get into some of the best available shout out to Alex Kasten.
Yes.
The homie has the big board of the best available up here. And we need to talk about
King. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to talk about some of this because Will Johnson, it's got to be the medicals. And Punk brings it up. Seemed to be a top five pick. Lock. Injury, bad medicals, falling out of the first round. How far does he fall with degenerative knee issues? Like, he could be a day three. I mean, if it's bad, like legitimately bad knees, he could be a day three pick. He could go literally undrafted. We saw this with
Dylan Moses.
Yes, Dylan Moses is exactly who I was thinking right there. It's just.
was once deemed the LeBron James of football as a recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah, because he was a freak running back too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Yep.
Rough.
Ashish says the Browns should just go for BPA, get some studs. If it's not a QB and they have just trade a late pick for Winston. Familiar with the team. Giants have Wilson and Dart now. I mean, I would love Jameis. They just don't seem very interested. Everywhere Jameis goes, teams don't really appear to be too interested in keeping Jameis around.
Players love him. He burns out coaches.
He's weird. He's a weirdo. I love Jameis. It's why I love Jameis, but he is a weirdo. Best available, Will Johnson, Mike Green. Okay, I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a direct shot at Connor. This is a direct shot at Connor in my Discord. I told you that Mike Green wasn't a day one player. We told you that Mike Green wasn't a day one player. You tried to tell me about his power profile that doesn't exist. We never saw it. We never saw it with Mike Green. And then the off-field stuff happened, and we were like, whoa.
His one big matchup was Ohio State. And again, he had the nasty spin move on an offensive tackle. He's probably not going to get drafted from Ohio State, their right tackle, Josh Fryer. Every run blocking rep against their tight end two, Will Kaczmarek, he was getting blown off the ball by a tight end two. Like, what do you do with that? Sure, he's a DPR, but like, every other players, and Mike Green is one of those guys, summer scouting, again, before all of the other stuff came out about Mike Green, where it's like, this guy is like a mid-round DPR. I like this guy. He's got some juice. Yes. And you're like, oh, wait, we're talking about this guy top 50? Oh, wait, we're talking about this guy first round? This guy is in Dane Brugler's top 10 overall player. Like, that's where it starts to get like, okay, let's push the brakes a little bit. Matthew Golden kind of the same way, but I do think Matthew Golden was very appropriately drafted, where like, I was an early adopter of Matthew Golden. Like, I love this guy. And then we're like, wait, wide receiver one because he ran a 4.29, top 10. I do think he was very appropriately drafted, though. But Mike Green is very much one of those guys. Like, I saw a mid-round DPR.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the upside for Mike Green is like a high end of Vic Beasley. And I mean, Vic was never like very good. He just had that rookie year production. But like Yannick Ngakoue. Somebody who is a legitimately dangerous pass rusher, a Robert Quinn, somebody who, even if he puts it together for 3, 4, 5 years as a pass rusher, I just don't see him ever being a consistent run defender. And so for me, it's more like he could be a disruptive run defender at times, but that's about it for me, man. I don't think he'll ever be consistent at it. He's got short arms. He's an edge rusher who's 250 pounds who doesn't play with a power profile. I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. I think he's going to get drafted on day two. Hopefully it's in the mid area of day two, kind of lower in round two. And then that's decent value in my opinion. But I for me personally, I like seeing guys go where they, in my eyes, deserve to go to avoid expectation. And I think that's
less happening. Pressure on those guys for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of almost feel good for Shedeur Sanders because he doesn't have that pressure of like, I have to come in and I have to win over a locker room and I have to be a franchise changer. Like, you're a day two quarterback. You're coming in hoping.
I have a question for you. I have a question for you because we heard legitimately bad things late in the process about how bad his interviews were.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is the NFL kind of coming together without coming together, not colluding with one another, but like each team individually saying like this kid needs an attitude adjustment?
I don't think so, because it's the most important position in
professional sports. I think it is.
I mean, they did it with Lamar Jackson. NFL did it with Lamar Jackson, an MVP.
Because it's,
I mean,
the most important position. Because it's the most important position. Because he calls his teammates out. Like, I legitimately think that that these teams kind of looked at it, especially like in the top 15, and we're just like, now dude needs humbled. He needs humbled. And maybe this is the humbling that he needed enough to rein in some of the abrasiveness that comes with being Prime 2.0 from a personality perspective. And so, Nicki Minaj, good Lord. Am I insane? Are we insane? I mean, but really me, because I was at the front with him. But like, what? I'm the safety guy. I'm the safety guy. I love safeties. I love the position. I love everything about the position. I am obsessed with safety play. I think Nicki Minaj, outside of Kyle Hamilton, is like the best I've watched.
Yeah.
And Malachi Starks, and we'll get to that pick when we talk about the picks, but good Lord. Nicki Minaj being on the board still is amazing to me.
Yep. Yeah, I thought a team like the Commanders or the Seahawks would have loved a guy like that.
But. Yeah. I love all of this for Nick Scorton, and I love all of this for Travion Henderson. Oh, my God. What the hell?
You good?
No. I just, like, rubbed my eye. And I don't know, like, if I still have lotion on my hand from lotioning, like, my son last night, but I just put it in my eye. I've washed my hands since then. This is what happens in live shows.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. It's 5 a.m. for Dalton, and it's 12:20 for me, so we're...
Yeah. Let's talk through the picks here. And you've graded all of these picks, and I'm going to go through for the ones that I really agree with you on or disagree with on, and we're going to fight about some of them.
Let's go for it.
I mean, number one was chalk, obviously. Titans needed a quarterback. They went and they picked the one in this class that they like. It just is what it is. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I really have to say about that pick. Jacksonville. So I wasn't watching the draft live when it happened. What did they announce him as?
Both.
They announced him as both.
So I saw an interview with him pre-draft when he was on the red carpet, and they said in the interview that this is the first time ever they've created three different draft cards for a player, and it was up to the team to decide if they wanted to announce him as a wide receiver, as a corner, as a both. And Jacksonville announced him as both.
Okay. Personally, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think what you do with a guy like this, it's especially important to me that the Jags absolutely spiked on Brian Thomas, because now they don't have the pressure of him needing to be the number
filthy
one.
Filthy wide receiver room, man. Filthy wide receiver room.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Jeez.
If it doesn't happen with Trevor Lawrence now,
it's not gonna.
We got to talk. Mm-hmm. We got to talk. How would you handle him in Jacksonville? Not Trevor Lawrence, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
80-20?
Oh. Offense, defense? 80 offense, no. 20 defense? Or the, oh.
I understand where you're at. I understand where you're at. But I'm talking about the potential of seeing who I believe to be a potentially generational level corner with how he prepares, with his closing speed, with his ball skills. His ball skills, shocker, by the way, his ball skills, which this is a live show. I literally do not care. His ball skills, which I believe were the best in the class as a wide receiver. And so we're talking about somebody who could legitimately potentially take the ball away defensively 10 times a year. Is that, like, I think 10 turnovers, forcing 10 turnovers and being one of the best cover corners in the league is as valuable as catching 75 passes and scoring 8 touchdowns as the number two.
I agree with you in theory. I just think if you have an elite athlete, an elite playmaker, like, you need to put him in his position to, like, make plays. And the way you put him in position to make plays is to put him on the offensive side of the ball. But I also I did want to say this as well. I think we are underselling Travis Hunter's ability to play both ways. I don't think it needs to be 80-20. Like, what if it's 70-30? What if it's, God forbid, 60-40? Because, like, one, the pace of it, the NFL is much
slower. No. I understand. I understand where you're at. I think the difficulty comes in with being, like, and you're rotating guys in and out. You're losing a little bit of continuity, especially on the defensive side of the ball in modern defensive schemes where you need that communication to be absolutely on lock with your secondary. I don't know if that lack of continuity is going to hurt very much, especially when the talent gap between having Hunter out there at outside corner and the next guy out there at outside corner is going to be massive.
I get it. In theory, I get it. But again, that's where I'm saying, like, why can't he do both? Like, I think we're underselling the amount of snaps he can play on both sides of the ball. Because, again, the NFL game is slower.
Just play him, like, 120?
I mean, how many was
playing 60%, 60%.
Well, that's 120%. That doesn't
mean... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Play him... Play him 120% of a normal NFL snap count. Like, you're not playing him 100%. Like, what I'm saying is...
My math is not mathing on this.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that's not what the split between offense and defense. I'm saying you play him 60% of the team's defensive snaps and 60% of the team's offensive snaps.
Oh, I got it. Okay,
so
now
he
I
is
got
playing it. More snaps like we saw him play at Colorado.
Yeah. I got you. Yes. I just think, I mean, the NFL is not running no huddle the way that college football is. The NFL isn't moving play to play at the pace that college football is. Like, we're already talking about a guy with extreme conditioning. Like, the guy's well conditioned and you're going to give him more rest in between snaps. And I do think defensively, if you want to play him a good amount of snaps, like, play him second on longs, third and obvious, like second and obvious. Like, you don't have to put him on the field on rundowns.
That's
not going to take as many blows. And so, like, you still get him on every single passing down that you can while also getting him the football as much as you can. I think that's a realistic outcome for Travis Hunter. I really do.
Play him 120 to 140% of the team snaps.
Yeah, go for it.
Because, I mean, we talked about it all year. I talked about it all year because I'm such a, like, a physical fitness and like, a fitness of focus person. Doing that at elevation in Boulder, playing as many snaps as he did is insane. That is legitimately insane. And to do it and be the best wide receiver in the nation and the best corner in the nation is unbelievable. And so, yes, more commercial breaks in the NFL, a slower pace of play. Maybe he legitimately can play 140% of the snaps. Maybe he legitimately can play 50 to 60 offensive snaps and 50 to 60 defensive snaps occasionally. How he holds up over time, it's so tough because you are already looking at corner and wide receiver being the most injured positions in football because they are so athletic. The turf is so rough on their knees and ankles and joints. And he is so damned quick and explosive. So it's really tough. We've talked about this pick forever. We have got to get it moving.
Yeah. We might have to skip around a little bit here. Mm-hmm. All right. Abdul Carter to the Giants. That one was
chalk.
Obvious.
Yeah, chalk. That's chalk.
Will Campbell to the Patriots. Chalk.
Chalk.
We talked about those picks for ages.
Yep, and we even talked about Graham a little bit to Cleveland when we talked about Cleveland. Do you have anything else to say about that? Because, like, I love the player, and I love pairing him with... Miles Garrett, because you can play them with games because Miles has the power to play on the interior and loop inside, and Graham has the bend to bend outside. Those two on a stunt is going to be disgusting. It's going to feed families.
I love the fit with Jim Schwartz. It's just not... Travis Hunter. So that's where I'm at. But
Punk. I don't disagree with you there. I just is what it is. Janie to the Raiders, kind of chalk. I don't mind this at all. I thought if there was a fit for Janie at the top, this was a better fit than Jacksonville. So
really,
I did, because you have the veteran quarterback. You aren't a team that's going to be looking to compete right away. Like, it's not a one that's going to put you over the top. You don't have any good wide receivers in the building.
That's why I thought he would have been a great
turn around and hand the ball off.
Yeah. That's why I thought he would have been a good fit for Jacksonville, is because I thought.
Yeah, not to say he wouldn't have been a good fit in Jacksonville, because score touchdowns, baby. But I think just having a workhorse and going with Pete Carroll. It's Pete Carroll drafting a running back. It's incredible. Membau to the Jets.
Not Tyler Warren, but it's a great pick. Investing Olufashinu and Armon Membau back-to-back years. Let's go.
Yeah.
Panthers, Tet McMillan. This one confused me.
Well, hold on. Let's bring this up real quick with Hurricane Lane. And we talked about this the other day on the podcast. We talked about this exactly the other day on the podcast. We agree. It's tough because you have all that juice with JT, and you saw that. But especially in this class, too. In this class, with all of that talent, you can get one later.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. They hate Travis and Etienne. They do not like Travis Etienne. Carolina Panthers. I thought this one was weird because I understand building an infrastructure around Bryce Young. You're trying to elevate that, but they just drafted Xavier Leggett last year, and I just feel like both of these receivers are pretty
and not, Coker.
It's not strictly confined to being X receivers, but they are both predominantly X receivers, and I'm wondering how those two guys build out route trees that aren't fairly identical.
Well, and Coker on top of that. So, like, you have your quarterback looks like a fifth grader compared to his wide receiver room, which is hilarious to me. But for me, yeah, it's just a bit redundant, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's redundant. The Saints, I got this pick right. I got this pick right.
Yeah, they didn't hide it very well down the stretch either. Yeah.
We knew the Kelvin Banks. The Kelvin Banks love coming back on late made it. It made sense.
Yeah, I. They're drafting him to play left tackle, and I don't know if I love that. They're going to kick Fuaga back to right side, which is fine, which is great, because that's
his
natural spot, and Fuaga's great. Man, I just think Banks is a guard, and you're drafting him to play left tackle, and we'll see.
We'll see.
Yep, that's what I got there. Loveland to the Bears. I hammered this effing pick, man.
You gave this all over this. But you gave this an A+, and we don't love the player that much.
I'm fine with it for Ben Johnson. I'm fine with it for where he got drafted and what he's going to be drafted to do. Absolutely, man.
But okay, so LaPorta had a massive impact in year one. But in year two, that impact went down.
He was hurt last year a little bit.
He was banged up a little bit, but the production wasn't there because they were pushing the ball outside and running the crap out of the football. Yeah. And so for me, at the end of the day, you're still getting less than what you could get from a productive wide receiver unless he ends up being Travis Kelce.
I mean, he's going to be
Corey.
Okay, no, I'm not saying that. Loveland's going to do a lot more crossers than where Kelce does a lot of. Like, him and Patrick Mahomes' mind meld will never. I don't know if that'll ever be replicated, but like. I do love the fit here. They need a slot receiver. Colson Loveland does most of his damage out of the slot. They're going to run a lot of 12.
They are just trying to recreate Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Actually a thing that I didn't think about, because similar play styles from your quarterbacks and similar play styles now from your two tight ends. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't know if Komet really fits what Ben Johnson's going to want to do either. Like, he's not a very good blocker. And when Ben Johnson wants an inline guy, he's going to want an ass kicker. And that's not Cole Kmet. And I don't think Cole Kmet's a super like mismatch player either for a tight end. He's fine. but I don't think he's worth the amount of money that they're giving him right now. And I think they're going to move off of him as well. So like, I love the fit of Loveland with the Bears. I stumbled upon it when I was doing my mock draft last week, and I was writing it out and I was like, wait a second. And I had Tyler Warren going to the Jets. So like Tyler Warren was already off the board. And I was like, wait a second. I low key love this fit. And I thought about it more and I'm like, no, this is great. And I didn't know if it would actually come to fruition, but my God, it came to fruition. So fucking love it. Love it. Niners, Mykal Williams. We nailed this one too. Nailed the Mykal Williams pick to the Niners. I hope that, you know, this is another Chris Korsak success story where they get the best out of a little bit of raw pass rushers and they develop them into something. But Mykal brings such a freaking high floor as a run defender. Like that's a day one base end opposite Nick Bosa. That's going to set a goddamn edge, man. You can play him in some four eye looks as well. And he can do some damage from the interior. Again, he's tight in the ankles, might never develop that. Maybe the tightrope surgery did something in his foot to like not have bend, but like
it might have, I mean, honestly, yeah, it just might have been one of those things where it's going to take him a little bit of time to come back from that injury and be back to 100%. But a little Eric Armstead-ish here, and it makes total sense to me.
Yep,
it does.
Love it. Let's talk about Tyler Booker to the Dallas Cowboys.
Protect Dak Prescott. You gave this a D+. I think that is not a bad grade. It's not a bad grade. I mean, I would give it a C- probably. So like we're right there. I don't think that they personally could have grabbed a similar player in value in round two.
You don't?
Because I don't think you that do. They're huh?
You don't think they no. could have grabbed a similar player?
No. No, I think Donovan Jackson and Tyler Booker were the top two guards by quite a bit.
Jonas Savoy and I.
No. No. First of all, I haven't seen him play guard. And even at the Senior Bowl, I didn't love what I saw from Jonas Savoy and I. And I love the idea of Jonas Savoy and I. But I thought Tyler Booker was an ass kicker. I loved Tyler Booker, but drafting him at 12 to then move to the right side. I mean, listen, an interior, and this is what the Dallas Cowboys do. It's what they did with Frederick and Martin and Tyron Smith. You just build a monstar version of an offensive line and let the rest fall. And now they have Tyler Smith at left guard, an all-pro caliber player, Cooper Beebe, who is a good center. And now you have Tyler Booker, who is, we talked about it, in a phone booth, really good. He's an unbelievable pass protector. You're not running through him. Mm-mm. And listen, did he test greatly? No, he didn't test greatly. But I don't, I've already talked about that. I don't give a shit about testing at guard. I really don't. As long as I think you can move on tape. And this dude had to follow around the most athletic quarterback in college football last year. And he led out in the open for that quarterback quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so fair. For me, he has enough athleticism and I'm fine with it. I don't love it. I don't love the pick. I would have preferred probably 10 to 15 other players first. But at the end of the day, my fandom is much more towards just Dak Prescott at this point. Mm-hmm. And so protect Dak Prescott. And that's what he wants. I know that's what he wants. Give him time to sit back in the pocket because he's not very mobile, especially at this point in his career. And so allow him to sit in the pocket, step up, and make decisions to the intermediate and deep levels of the middle of the field where he is at his best.
Yeah, I get it. And they're going back to a more gap-heavy run scheme too. So like, to that extent, that's fine.
They already were.
Yeah, it's fair. Kenneth Grant, Miami Dolphins.
I don't love Grant.
I don't love Grant.
But everybody else does, so.
I understand the raw tools of Kenneth Grant. Like, on paper, I understand Kenneth Grant and how explosive and powerful and strong he is. And then I watch his tape, and I'm like, well, then why aren't your hands heavy? then why aren't you hot off the ball? Then, like, why aren't you getting lateral as quick as people say you should be able? Like, that's where I struggle. It's like, sure, if you don't put a body in front of him, maybe all of this is true. But when you do, I don't see any of it translate.
Like, Dollar General Jordan Davis is how I felt about him. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see it. It's just putting it all together is something I never saw.
Tyler Warren to the Colts.
It's not just the greatest.
We've been talking about this since October.
This is the greatest pick of all time.
I love it. It's like everybody saw that. We've seen this. We saw this coming since October. Tyler Warren is the quintessential Colt.
Yeah. Yep.
Jalen. So I want to talk about Jalen Walker a little bit. I gave this a C- because I was like, well, I don't really know what they're trying to do with him here. Do you think them trading up for James Pierce, a pass rusher, means that they're going to play Jalen Walker more off ball? Or do you think they were just overloading the pass rushers because their pass rush group was so bad?
They're overloading at pass rusher because their pass rushers are so bad.
I still don't know what to do with Jalen Walker. Yeah, I still don't know what to do with Jalen Walker.
What you could do, I mean, you could legitimately play him like the Cowboys played Micah in year one.
You could. Raheem Morris is also the defensive coordinator who got the most out of Ernest Jones, basically by just putting him at Mike and thrashing him downhill like a CTE crash dummy. So I could see that as a possibility for what they have envisioned for Jalen Walker. But he's one of those players that's like, I don't know how to project this guy, and I'm done trying. So it's like, if you got a plan for him, that sounds great to me, man.
What are we wanting? What are we wanting, Punk? That's what I want to know. What are we wanting?
Is it the Kenneth Walker take or is it the Jalen Walker take? The Kenneth Grant take or the Jalen Walker?
It could be one of either because I know that there were a lot of Kenneth Grant fans in my Discord.
People love Kenneth Grant.
And I know Punk was in that Discord. The grade on Jalen.
Grade on Jalen. Yeah, I gave it a C-.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What would you have graded that?
A C-? No, I would have given it a B. Okay. I would have given him a bit, but that's the difference between you and me. Like I had,
you
him,
are
he
saying
like,
he's a,
he was
he's
like my 21st ranked player, mm-hmm. but he was like my fourth ranked edge. And so for me, like the Falcons taking that there and then doubling it up with somebody like James Pierce, who was actually graded higher for me as an edge, but has the off field stuff. I think the pairing is fine. I think how they got to the pairing is asinine. But
yeah.
What did we think of Michael to San Francisco? He thought of Michael to San Francisco as an A-, and that's kind of how I feel about it as well. Pairing, he's just a really good pairing with Nick Bosa.
I agree. I would prefer Shamar Stewart just because I think Shamar Stewart has more tools in his lower half than Michael does. But I totally get the fit in San Fran, so it's hard to argue because regardless, you're getting a very solid high floored base down run defender, and then you can work on the rest from there.
Yeah.
From there.
Walter Nolan.
I gave it to
Arizona. I know we're both very much lower on Walter Nolan than a lot of people. I see the vision with Walter Nolan.
I
just
too.
Really, really struggle with guys who not just like are flashy, but like guys who legitimately only show up two or three times a year, which is how I felt about his tape. Like legitimately day three player outside of three games.
Yeah.
He just like doesn't show up sometimes. I can't have that from a day one starter. Can't have it.
I agree.
That's how
and I even when it. even when he is locked in, it's like I still don't love his body of work on early downs.
Yeah, we disagree there. I think physically it's all there for him to be a fine run defender. I think I'm not ever gonna call players stupid. Because that's just wrong. I think that there is a level of quick-wittedness that you need, especially on the defensive interior, because you need to be able to process information at an instant, at an eye flash. Are you blinking at the line of scrimmage? Because you're not going to fill your gap if you are. And I don't think he has that part of his game. And I think he second-guesses himself a lot when he is defending the run, and he gets absolutely washed because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cincinnati Bengals, Shamar Stewart, also realizing there's a typo in my article here. I gave it an A+.
Unbelievable.
Sam Hubbard retiring. Yeah.
Yeah. You just took supercharged Sam Hubbard.
Yep. And then Trey, they don't want anything worked out with Trey still. They could trade Trey tomorrow. They could trade tomorrow.
Yeah. Gray Zabel to the Seahawks is, in my opinion, the most Seahawks pick I've ever seen. It just is.
It's ugly.
I'm really interested to see what they do here.
I mean, they took him over Donovan Jackson. That's where I'm like, come on, man. I understand the Senior Bowl tape is really good, but like his left tackle take at North Dakota State, and they didn't draft him to play left tackle, so I get it. But like his tape is like underwhelming to me. And you took him over Donovan Jackson, who I thought was very stellar down the stretch, especially at left tackle. 4-year starter at a Big Ten program.
What if he plays center?
What if he plays center? Then draft Marcus Bowe.
No. Marcus Bowe's not a center. I hate to tell you this, Corey, but it's like it doesn't matter how we feel about it. The dude played tackle at the Senior Bowl. He barely touched the ball when he was at the Senior Bowl. He's not playing center. The NFL doesn't see him as a center. They see him as a guard or a tackle, one of the two. They saw Gray Zabel as a center, and Gray Zabel went against the best in college football at the Senior Bowl as a center, the first time playing the position in years, and was one of the best players there. I understand. I didn't love his tape at tackle either.
Senior Bowl inflation is something I can't get down with. I mean, for a small school guy, I'm more down with it, but like...
But it's about projecting the traits to the interior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we saw how the traits flashed at the Senior Bowl.
18th overall, though, man.
Yeah, it's high.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Emeka Egbuka. I low-key like the fit. One, I know that they're not expecting Chris Godwin to play till late October, early November. So he's going to have a huge role. And if you're drafting a wide receiver to have a huge role, you better draft a guy who started a lot of games and has done the exact role that you're drafting him to do at a high level. And that's what the Buccaneers did here. So I legitimately think that they are concerned about Chris Godwin's health. And again, late October, early November might be when he sees the field. But that's to say you got a day one contributor. He's done it his whole career. So I like the fit. They need to come back and draft a corner day two. They probably should have. They probably should have maybe drafted a corner here. But again, that Z slot role, nobody better to fit it in this class than Emeka Egbuka right here. Luther Burton's more explosive, but Emeka Egbuka is more fluid.
Egbuka kind of reminds me of what Godwin does. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I watch Chris Godwin, it's like, what really stands out about his game? Nothing. Nothing. He's just damn good at literally everything. Like for me, there's no defining trait for Chris Godwin. He's just damn good at everything.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is how I feel about Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I gave it an A.
I don't think you gave a high grade. I don't think you gave a high enough grade for this.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. My struggle was like, you have Pat Surtain, and Riley Moss played well last year opposite him. Like, they both hooped when Riley Moss was healthy. So, but what I do think is this is like Vance Joseph dancing around the draft room, stomping on tables, saying, get me an Apex, get me a guy that I can, like, that can revolutionize my defense and can wear a bunch of hats and can do it well. It's what I feel like this pick is Vance Joseph, like, pounding every single frickin' table in that draft room and telling me to get me Jahdae Barron. That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah, and that's what Jahdae Barron is. I know everybody saw him play cover three this year and was like, yeah, he's a really good corner. But, guys, that role is... If you're an intelligent football player who already played the Apex at a really high level and can play safety and have the athleticism to play corner, you're going to look good on the outside. Playing outside leverage in cover three, playing 8 to 12 yards off of the ball. Jahdae Barron, at his most impactful, where he will be best, is in the Apex. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I can get down with it.
Okay, here we go. Ashish loves the pick for Seattle. Loves the pick. We just like Donovan Jackson as a guard more than we like Gray Zabel as a guard. First of all, because we've seen it. Second of all, because we think the upside is higher. But if you tell me Gray is going to be their center from day one, I'm okay with that pick.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that. Derek Harmon, yeah, we knew this was happening.
I've heard about this since the combine. They were drafting Derek Harmon. They see him as Cam Hayward 2.0. We love Derek Harmon. Derek Harmon's my DT too. I think he's the second best defensive tackle in the class, to only Mason Graham. Tremendous value. If the shoulder checks out, which I was told Pittsburgh's not concerned about the shoulder, which is the med flag that he got flagged for. So very high upside, very high floored run defender, high upside pass rusher. He's fluid. He's got hands. What's not to love about Derek Harmon? Love the pick. One of my favorite. Omarion Hampton to the Chargers, the ideal pick, like the ideal landing spot for Omarion Hampton. A blue collar head coach, a gap powered offensive or a gap scheme run game behind Joe Alt, Rayshon Slater. They just signed Mekhi Becton in free agency. Zion Johnson hasn't been very good. Former first rounder still there. Like this is the ideal spot. I do wonder how they split carries between him and Najee Harris, though, because they did just sign Najee Harris.
Who?
But to a 2-year deal. It's not a 1-year deal.
Who?
I would start Omarion Hampton over Najee Harris. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Najee Harris at all. And I love Najee Harris's game coming out of Alabama. Again, a guy who like wasn't great at, wasn't like super explosive, but was just like really good at everything. Omarion Hampton is a perfect fit here.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Drafting Omarion Hampton with the 22nd pick with the guys who are still on the board means I cannot give this an A. I can't give this a B.
Who for the Chargers would you have drafted though? I think they really wanted to go interior defensive line, and Nolan Harmon and Grant were all gone. Like who else for the Chargers specifically would you have drafted here? Because they just signed a guard was what would have been my thought, but they just signed Mekhi Becton in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, let me get to
all the decent edge rushers were off the board. I mean, they could have gone Tyreek Williams, I guess. But like that's the only other guy that I'm looking at and saying, well, yeah, that would have been a good fit for the Chargers here, other than Hampton. For the Chargers' opinion, like they got pigeonholed into their worst case scenario. Like all of their targets got picked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at corner, but no corners went. I'm looking at, oh man. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I know somebody was bringing up Eamon Worry to the Chargers, but I think Eamon Worry to the Chargers is a bit redundant with Derwin James.
Yeah.
Personally,
although I think
wide receiver is another one. Golden, because then you can throw Ladd in the slot a little bit more and let him, you know, be. I hate to like the. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to bring up Julian Edelman.
I really like Ladd McConkey at the Z though. So like,
And that's what, yeah.
I don't want to mess much with that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Matthew Golden to the Packers. Do you feel like this might be redundant with Jaden Reed? Or do you think you're fine with
him? No, he's way better.
Yeah.
He's way better.
Jaden Reed's good, man. Jaden Reed's got some juice. I wouldn't undersell Jaden Reed here.
No. It's the second round.
The rest of that room is kind of stinky. Though.
It's the second round quarterback for the first round quarterback thing. I'm not letting a good player get in the way of a great player, ever.
Yeah, that's fair. Any other thoughts on Matthew Golden? I gave it a B+.
No.
Do you think they go and like try to trade for an X?
No.
Like tomorrow, like George Pickens is supposedly on the block.
You don't think so?
Yeah, because I don't like Christian Watson. I don't know if they like Christian Watson. Dontavian Wicks is fine. Romeo Dubs is fine. I don't think those guys are like game changers in that room.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind their wide receiver room at all right now. Not with Golden.
I might.
You don't need all these different body types at this point.
I don't think you need one either, but you need somebody who can threaten one-on-one. Like,
I mean, Jaden Reed threatens one-on-one. Matthew Golden threatens one-on-one.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Christian Watson runs a 4-1.
Christian Watson can't play through contact, is constantly hurt, and can't track a football.
Yeah, Romeo Doubs could come in and give you snaps. Like, what are you going to do? Pair Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss? And, like, there's only so many assets that you can put to these positions here, man.
That's why I say, like, can you trade a day two pick for, like, George Pickens? Throw him in that room.
Why? Do you want George Pickens in your locker room?
I mean, no, but like...
Exactly.
Yeah. Moving on. Donovan Jackson to the Vikings. I adore this pick. I adore this pick. I love it. Like, I gave it an A. Day one guard. Again, Christian Darrisaw is recovering from a torn ACL. If Christian Darrisaw needs to buy some time, either early in the season or if there's some lingering effects, dude could kick out and give you some solid spot starting reps at left tackle. Like,
yeah.
You whiffed on Eddie Ingram. You traded him. Let's move on. Address a weakness. The Vikings are good. This team is legitimately J.J. McCarthy being a serviceable quarterback, which is a complete unknown because we haven't seen it. And at Michigan, it was, you know, hit or miss. And they didn't really build their offense around him at Michigan. So, like, they are solid quarterback play away from being a Super Bowl contender. This team is freaking good.
Yeah.
Love the pick. All right, we're on.
The next one. I don't want to harp on this too much. You got the grade right.
Yeah.
You got the grade right. It is what it is. I think they're both getting fired. I think Shane and Dabble are both getting fired.
Yep. You donated 2 day 2 picks to draft a developmental quarterback that doesn't have an elite tool to develop. Mid plus arm, mid plus athleticism. Zero wherewithal in processing information quickly. We'll see. The next one I also gave an F. Atlanta Falcons, the pick after the Giants gave up 2 day 2 picks to trade up back into the first round, decided we'll use a future first to trade back up.
Yeah, the trade makes this an F. No matter how much I like the player, the trade makes this an F.
Yeah, and we talked about this pick at the beginning of the...
Yeah, it's an awful decision. I do love the player, though.
I don't know what Terry Fontenot is doing.
Yeah, getting fired.
Baltimore Ravens, the rich get richer. They do this every freaking year. They just find a way to make drafting way easier than everybody else.
This is the second best pick of all time. Tyler Warren was the best pick of all time. This is the second best pick of all time. This, I tweeted it out as soon as this happened because I was actually awake and live for this one. When I saw this pick, I did the perfect world, like this is what the world could be thing. I said, this is now Baltimore City after this pick. This is Baltimore City after this pick. It is the pairing Malachi Starks and allowing Kyle Hamilton to be Kyle. Because Kyle Hamilton played a lot of free safety last year out of necessity. Now you can just let Kyle Hamilton be Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks, and you can move Malachi Starks around, and you can move Kyle Hamilton around, and Ardarius Washington can still give you really good snaps. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That safety room is, first of all, a draft Twitter dream. But second of all, is that's my wet dream. You know what?
It's beautiful.
I'm going to take off. Because, listen, Lamar Jackson is my second favorite player in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens are my family's team. The Baltimore Ravens are now my team. If I didn't want to get us kicked off of YouTube, I would take my shirt off right now.
The Baltimore Ravens stole my team back in 1996.
They did?
So
they did?
They are not my team. Moving on.
The Mayfield trucks, Mayfield trucks that were used for that, I know where they are.
I love this pick too.
It's such a Dan Campbell player.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it. I do.
Yep.
Love this pick. Okay. I think you're too low on the Connerly pick, except for the only reason why I understand why you gave it a B minus is because why do you trade for Laremy Tunsil and then
So they're going to keep Brandon Coleman to left guard and Connerly to right tackle? A guy who already has some anchor issues, you're going to make him rework his feet too now? And I don't, that's what I don't love about the pick. I love the player. I like the player.
Also, Dan Quinn not taking my safety is concerning for me.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you had the opportunity to take somebody who was an actual good J-Ron Curse. And that is a shot at him. sorry. Not a huge fan of his personality. I just think Nicky Mawari would have been an unbelievable pick for Dan Quinn there, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Maxwell Harrison of the Buffalo Bills.
We pegged this one.
It's a player. I like it. Yep. I like it. Not a lot to, I mean,
I think it's probably the most better
player in the draft.
I would have given this one an A, honestly. I would have went higher than you here. I would have. Which means it's probably going to flop like Kyrie Elam. Like, it's just the way that it goes. Like, they'll pick somebody on day three who will be better than him.
Well, he'll start over him day one. Yeah.
It's just what the Bills do.
So there's a thing in the chat about this next one, Jahad Campbell to the Eagles. So yeah. The thing with Jahad Campbell, he was medically disqualified from a bunch of boards. I was told at the combine, this guy's not getting out of the top 20. After the combine, meds started to come back through. The dude has two bad shoulders. He had the surgery on the torn labrum. Everybody knew about that. Two bad shoulders and a degenerative knee. That's what I've been told. I was told that it wouldn't have been shocking if he fell completely out of the first round.
Peyton Wilson. So
that is why he fell to 31. But again, the Eagles being the Eagles, the rich get richer. The Eagles and the Ravens every year just make drafting easier than everybody else. They even traded up one spot. I don't know if they thought somebody else was thinking about coming up to draft.
It's crazy that they both... It's crazy that they both always end up in divisional round and conference championships. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Last pick here. But again, pairing Zach Bond and Jahad Campbell's disgusting, by the way. Last pick here, Josh Simmons to Kansas City. I think everybody had this fit pegged as well. Josh Simmons falling to 31 feels crazy, but with the torn patella, I guess, you know. But again, you have Jalen Moore at least for 1 year. I think they could get out of it after a year. So if they need to redshirt Josh Simmons, I like that idea as well. So I like the fit here. And again, with the Chiefs, the rich get richer here.
I don't like your grade.
You don't like it? What would you want? B?
No.
A plus?
You need to stand and say it with your chest. This was OT1.
I understand that. Yeah.
And he went to a place where you need a left tack. I think you could have said it with your chest a little bit more here and went with an A plus.
That's fair.
It's me being nitpicky. I love this. I love this pick, and it's a pick that we've had kind of circled in pencil for a while now.
All right, Dalton. I'm gonna bring up something here again. Live stream craziness. It is 1 a.m. my time, and my daughter just woke up, and my wife is asleep. So I'm gonna let you close out this live stream here because I have to go put my daughter back to sleep. My 1 year.
Yeah, you do that. You do that. I'm gonna run and do that. I got this.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in. We had some pretty good numbers. We'll be back tomorrow night. Dalton's gonna close.
We will be. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and you can see that I have. Oh, you guys aren't supposed to see that. Nobody clipped that. Guys, let's see here real quick. Corey, can you talk me off the edge with the Browns? Oh, William, what do you need talked off the edge with? By the way, guys, this will be out in podcast form, and we talked a ton about the Cleveland Browns up front. So if you want to see all of that in rewind, you can either rewind this video because this, I mean, you can watch this video after it's we're done going live. And so you can rewind it back to the Brown stuff, but we will also have it in podcast form. But you can just listen to podcasts now because you can close out your phone and just listen to YouTube. That's how I listen to my podcast now. I don't ever get on Spotify or anything like that. But there's no need to talk you off the Browns ledge. They got more assets, still got a top five player at number five, and have the pick of a bunch of really good players who are still on the board in day two on a team that could be potentially a couple of plays of picks away and just competent quarterback play from a veteran away from legitimately contending in the AFC. I mean, outside of the very top teams, just because the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs are still the cream of the crop, but it only takes like an elite defensive performance to upset some of those teams. So that's all I got. I love you guys. Corey is the best there is as a Browns guy. Hunter is an elite talent, but I am going to clock out here. I'm going to get to some of my own individual work. I love you guys. Thank you for stopping by. The numbers were great. We will be back tomorrow again with another live show recapping my favorite day of the NFL, day 2 of the NFL draft.